Revelation chapter number 21 this morning. I'd like you to find your place with me in God's Word. Amen. Thank God for His wonderful, perfect, precious, inspired, preserved, infallible Word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation chapter number 21. Find your place in verse number 1. The Bible says, this is John the Beloved speaking. If you know your Bible, God has given him the revelation. He began in chapter number 1 and 2 where John was introduced to the Lord Jesus. And Jesus has revealed to John some things that are going to take place. Amen. And God has wrapped him all the way through the time of the great tribulation upon this earth. And when we get to chapter number 21, John is seeing some signs of the new heavens and the new earth. And he says, in verse number 1, he said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now John saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away.'" Thank God. "And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son.'" But, verse 8 says, "But the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name this morning, we love you. God, we thank you for loving us. Lord, without your love, we would not know love. And God, you said that we love you because you first loved us, and for that we're grateful. I'm thankful for the love of God that was demonstrated and showed to us, Lord, through the Lord Jesus dying on the cross for our sins in our stead. God, I pray that you'd help this morning those of us here, Lord, that are saved, to be reminded of your love for us and reminded of your grace and mercy. And Lord God, I pray for those that are lost, that have never been saved. Oh God, would you open their eyes? God, would you convict their hearts? God, would you help them to put aside the religious facades they've got? Lord, I pray that, Lord, you'd help them today to really see their state. Lord, that they're a sinner. But God, help them not only to see that they're a sinner, but God, to help them to see that Jesus is a great Savior. God, help us today. Oh, God, have your will and way. We'll thank you in Jesus' name for all you do. And all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. I want to preach this thought this morning that God's put on my heart on the overcomers and the overcome. The overcomers and the overcome. We live in a day when if you was to go up and down the road, and especially here in the southern, what we call the Bible Belt, and you knock on many doors, you'll find out that most people will profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people that you encounter, though not all and not as much as it used to be, most and a high majority would claim that they know the Lord Jesus. They would claim that they've prayed a prayer. They would claim that they are belonging to some religious organization and they've got faith, so-called, in God. The problem is that many of those that would claim faith in God, they claim and they testify of a grace that is not the grace of God. You see, many will speak of grace and they think that grace enables them to be free to sin. Can I say that grace does not enable you to be free to sin, but rather the grace of God does enable you and I that are saved to be free from sin. There's a vast difference. when you were lost. If you're lost this morning, you don't need grace. You don't need freedom to sin. Before you were saved, God said you was bound in sin. You're locked up in sin. The idea in the picture of the Bible is you're bound with shackles and fetters in sin. You don't need grace to sin. You can already sin. Nobody needed freedom to sin. You and I, as lost people, we needed freedom from sin. We live in a society today where grace is disgraced. And many times it seems as if people use grace as a license to live life. I can live like I want to because I'm saved by grace, not by works. The Bible does teach that we're saved by grace, not of works. Hey, but thank God it's not saved to live like I want to, but it's now I'm saved and grace enables me to live like God wants me to. Hey, I'm telling you, we live in such a soft, I'm talking about soft, sissified, mamby-pamsy. I'm talking about lily-pally. I'm talking about yellow-bellied. I'm talking about preachers that ain't got the courage to stand up and say what God say. But I'm saying when God saves an individual, He doesn't save them in sin. He come to save them from their sin. Many who claim a profession, they have made a profession of faith, but they have no possession of salvation. Did you hear what I said? They have a profession. They can go back and say, well, I prayed a prayer. I got news for you, friend. I'm not trying to be mean. I want to be honest with you this morning. I don't care how many times you pray. I don't care how many times you've been baptized. I don't care how many churches you've joined. Listen, if you've never had an experience of faith that you placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, the burial, the resurrection, that He did it for your sins, and because of that experience, hey, there was a radical change in your life, then you're lost. The Bible still says, therefore, you've heard it before, you've heard it 100 times, if not 1,000,000. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This business, this Pat Boone religiosity, hey, I can rock and roll, and I can live life like I want to, and I can live like the world, smell like the world, run with the world, oh, but I love Jesus, and I'm going to heaven. Friend, you are fooled. Right here in this passage, the Bible says here in verse number of 6 and 7, we see some people here, and especially verse 7, he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be his sons. He shall be my sons. So we see here, there is a difference, because in verse 8 he says, but, and he goes into describing a different type of people. There are some who are overcomers, there are some, sad to say, that are overcome. Now I want to look at this passage briefly this morning. I want you to go with me. I want you to allow God to speak to your heart. I want you to be honest with yourself and honest with God. Because friend, you may fool the preacher. You may fool your husband. You may fool your wife. You may fool mom and dad. You may fool your children. But friend, you will not fool God. Amen. God knows the deepest, darkest crevices of our hearts. And friend, one day you're not going to stand before the preacher and give an account. You're not going to stand before your parents or your mom and daddy or your grandma and grandpa. You're not going to stand before the deacon. You're going to stand before the sovereign God of the universe, a holy, righteous God. And He's going to know what you've done with Jesus. So I want you to look with me this. I want to see number one, when we think about these overcomers and the overcome. Number one, I want us to look at the characteristics. He talks about the overcomers in verse number 7. He said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. They're going to have things that they need will be supplied. He said, there are supplied people. He's talking here of a new people. He just told us about a new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, a new city. He's telling us today he's made all things new. And he's telling us about these people, these overcomers. He said they're going to have their needs supplied. Not only were they a supplied people, but he said they're going to worship God. They're going to be a saved people. He said there in verse number 7, I will be his God. They're going to worship God. They're going to trust in God. They're going to look to, because of a new relationship, they've been saved. And then not only that, he said they're God's children. He said they will be shall be my son. He said there are sons of God. I got news for you. That when you read versions and it says that the God gave us one and only son in John 3:16, that's a perversion. Jesus is the only begotten son. But the Bible said in 1 John chapter number 3, that beloved, it doth not appear what we all what we shall be. He said, but we now, he said, we are the sons of God. Are you listening to me? When you got saved, you became a son, a daughter of God. You became a child of God when you got saved. And I'm going to say, because of that, you're an overcomer. It's not because of what you've done, but it's because of who you've trusted. And when you trusted Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches us that He's going to be our Father. He's going to be our God. He's going to be our supplier. Because we're saved, because we've been made new people, we've been made overcomers. And then He talks about the overcome. See, overcomers are people who worship God, who trust God, who live for God. They're His children. They're His son. They want to please their father, but the overcome are those, listen, who are still would be classified as sinners, not as sons. You better be careful how you hold on to modern language and little ad-lib lines that pass down. People says, well, we're all just sinners saved by grace. I know what you mean by that, but according to the Bible, you're not a sinner when you get saved, you're a saint. I know that's foreign to you, but when Paul wrote to the book of Romans, he said to the saints. Let me tell you, it doesn't mean you're perfect. It doesn't mean you've got it all together, but it means that God has set you apart. He saved you. He's sanctified you. You belong to Him. You're no longer classified in God's eyes as a sinner. Does that mean we're perfect? No, friend. That doesn't mean we're perfect. But what it means is it means that now we are intimate with the Savior. But on the flip side of it, there are those that are still involved in sin. And He names some, and I'm going to name them this morning. Don't get mad at me, I'm just reading the Bible. The Bible says that the fearful. You say, what is the fearful? He's not talking about people that are scared of the dark, friends. He's talking about the timid or the cowardly, those who will never take a stand for Christ. He's talking about those who they may sit in a church and they may profess to know Christ, but when the rubber meets the road, they will never stand up and take a stand for the cause of Christ. They may be too scared to walk an aisle and admit that they're lost. He said, the fearful. Are you listening to me? Fear is the absence of faith. And then he goes right in and he says, the fearful, that is that they're dreading things, and he says, and the unbelieving. The unbelieving, that is the unfaithful or the faithless ones. Those who have no trust in God, they are disbelieving. Your friend, you realize that this morning when you go to hell, if you go to hell, you're not necessarily going to hell because you drink, smoke, cuss. The punishment of hell would be because of that, but the reason you go is because you have not believed. John chapter number 3 says that God sent His Son not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. But He also said that those who had not believed, He said that wrath was coming upon them. And He said that, listen, the reason condemnation was coming upon them is because they had not believed the name of the Son of God. Are you listening to me this morning? The unbelieving. You say, well, I'm just not sure. Listen, friend. He said the unbelieving. Then He says the abominable. You say, what's the abominable, preacher? The abominable, the word abominable, it comes from a word, it gives us the meaning of that which is foul, that which is abhorred. You've heard it all your life. You've heard sayings like this. That's just a dirty, rotten, stinking sinner. Y'all have heard that phrase. This is where it comes from. Hey, he said the foul, the abhorred. In other words, these are people who are polluted. They are so not only involved in sin, but they are indulged in sin. That they have a dirty mind, they have a dirty spirit, and they have dirty bodies. They stink. The idea is that there's a stench about them, detestable. You've seen them. You've been in the world enough. You've watched and seen, looked throughout society, and you've seen people that you didn't have to wonder about them. Man, they were just detestable, man, almost. You could see the stench, and you could see sin wreaking havoc in their life, and they are abominable. Matter of fact, if you go to the book of Proverbs, you find that there's a list that, like God said, six things are an abomination. He said, six things I hate. He said, yea, seven are an abomination. They're abominable. In other words, they make God sick. They're detestable. And then he says this, and he says, and murderers. Murderers. You know, that is those, that's not somebody who goes in the war or in defense of their family or defense of their country and has to kill someone. This is someone who intentionally commits homicide. This is someone who has hate in their heart and kills someone. Matter of fact, Jesus talked about when you hate someone in your heart, you have murdered them in your heart. You killed them. He said all murderers. And he says this. And he said and whoremongers. Whoremongers. That word comes from a word that would speak of a male prostitute or a male who would not only sell his body, but a male who would indulge in unlawful sexual intercourse. Also known as a fornicator. The word for whoremonger here is actually comes from the Greek word pornos. Does that sound like the root word of a word in our society? Pornos, pornography. He's speaking here of sexual impurity. And he says the whoremonger. Hey, the man who would lie with a woman who's not his wife. He said, that's him. That's his characteristics. He's describing the overcome. These are people who maybe they have not messed up once, but this is their lifestyle. They are involved in these sins. Then he says, sorcerers. Sorcerers, those who would prepare and use magical remedies, or a sorcerer. It comes from the word pharmakeios. We get it from the word pharmakon. It means to have a drug that is a spell-giving potion. Druggists, poisoners, magicians, sorcerers, all derived from this word pharmakeios. It's interesting, when I study this word, it's interesting how God links drug use with sorcery. You do know in the Old Testament, sorcerers were put to death. Those who messed with the occult, those who messed. But preacher, I just read my horoscope, I just want to see what it's like. No, you're messing with the occult. Preacher, it's just Harry Potter. My kids just watch. You better watch what you get your kids entangled in. Twilight. Vampires. Witches, warlocks. Are you listening to me this morning? Sorcerers. That's on the list here. Would also include drug users. The word pharmakeia, we get that word what? Pharma. See. Pharmaceuticals. Medicine. He's speaking here of drug use. Well, preacher, I can't help it. Well, God can. And then he says, in idolaters. Idolaters. Say, what's an idolater, preacher? An idolater, it's a person who was a worshiper of false gods. He worshiped idols. He's a worshiper of images. And then the Bible teaches us that covetousness is idolatry. So not only is it those who worship a false little idol, or not only is it those who will worship some image or a false god, but it's those who will worship the almighty dollar bill. Covetousness, gotta have more, gotta have, gotta have, gotta have, gotta have, because they're trusting in their finances instead of the God of heaven. Idolaters. And then he says this, he says, and all liars. I don't lie, preacher, I just tell little white lies. In God's book, there are no little white lies. The father of lies, John 8:44, is Satan himself. Are you listening to me? He said, and all liars. What a description of people who are indulged in and involved in sin. I want to just go through with you because some of you are thinking, oh, preacher, is this the only people that's going to hell? No, this is not the only people. He's not giving you an exhaustive list here. He's giving you a broad overscope. So I'm going to go look in a few other lists that God put in His Bible. And I want you to go with me because I want you to see what God says about who He is and who He is not going to heaven. And I want to remind you, you're not going to heaven, but because of anything you do, you're going to heaven because of what Jesus does. I want you to turn with me to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, I could quote this to you, but I want you to see it. So I want every one of you to go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. If you've got a Bible, I want you to look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 9. The Bible says, no. And that word no don't mean think, it means no. I believe we're all certain that word no means to be certain about. Know ye not that, watch this, the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Did you get that? The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Watch this. Be not deceived. Don't be fooled. Don't be duped. Don't let nobody be a smooth talker and tell you you're all right. Watch me now. Neither fornicators. That's those who have sex before they're married. Nor effeminate. Nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those are homosexuals. Nor thieves. That's a thief. Y'all know what a thief is. Nor covetous preacher. That's what the Bible says. Nor drunkards. You say, preacher, I just like a social drink. So what you mean is you're a social drunk. Let me ask you a question. Can you be a social fornicator? Talk to me. Can you be a social thief? If somebody comes in your house and steals $1, are you going to think, oh, it wasn't no big deal. They just stole $1. If somebody sleeps with your wife, sir, one time, are you going to say, oh, it's just one time. He's just a social adulterer. No, friend, and when you take one glass of wine, one glass of beer, one sip of whiskey, what you are is a drunk. You say, well, it takes me 10 drinks to get drunk. Yes, sir, one drink is one-tenth drunk. Are you listening? Nor revilers, nor extortioners. Watch this. Shall inherit the kingdom of God. He said, don't be deceived. If this is your lifestyle, you ain't going to heaven. Are you listening to me? And watch this, just so they were clear about it, in verse 11, he said, and such were, not are, were, past tense. Y'all all right? Were, past tense. Such were some of you. In other words, before you got saved, this would have been your characteristics. This would have been describing your lifestyle. Before you got saved, this would have been you. But, he says this, but ye are washed.
Amen.
That is, you're washed in the blood. That is, you've been cleansed. That is, you've been forgiven. But you're washed. But you're justified. But you're sanctified. Sanctified, as you've been claimed by God. You've been saved, sanctified, set apart. But you're justified, that is, you've been declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now listen, he said, don't be fooled, don't be deceived. He said, don't matter what you pray, don't matter. Listen, if your life is still in the word part, you ain't going. It's not what I said, it's the Bible. You take it up with the Bible. Go with me to Galatians. King James Bible, Galatians chapter number 5. He said, preacher, I thought we wasn't saved by our works. We're not. But a saved person's works will reveal whether they have been saved. Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 19. You get your place, say amen. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. That is, they're revealed. That is, the works of the flesh. They're going to be shown. Which are these? Watch it now. The works of the flesh, not the works of the Spirit, not the works of the Holy Ghost in you, but the works of the flesh. Adultery. That's somebody's not your husband or wife. They belong to somebody else. Fornication. That's before you're married. That's really would involve any sexual impurities. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Watch this next word. Witchcraft. Say, preacher, you're going to seed on that. It's in the Bible. Quit messing with witches. Quit messing with horoscopes. Quit messing with all that garbage. Witchcraft. Hatred. Variance. Emulations. Wrath. Strife. Seditions. Heresies. Envyings. Murders. Drunkenness. Revelings. And such like. Watch this. He said those are the works of the flesh. And he says, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past. He said, I done told you once, I'm telling you again, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. How much clearer can it be? Go with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. Ephesians, chapter number 5. I want to be honest with you. I want to be straight up with you. I want to tell you what the Bible says. We're saved by grace, friend, but if your lifestyle has not been changed because of grace, you have not experienced biblical grace, God's grace. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Watch verse 5. For this ye know. You don't think so, you don't hope, but you know. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. You say, but preacher, I prayed a prayer, and the preacher told me that if I prayed that prayer, then I was going to heaven. Verse 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Back to Revelation 21. We're talking about the description of the overcome. Those who are still locked up in, wrapped up in a lifestyle of sin. This is what he's saying. He's saying your habits, your habitual, not your mess up once in a while, not that you slipped up somewhere in your Christian life, but your habitual lifestyle, your lifestyle day in and day out. He's saying your habits reveal your heart. Your lifestyle, your character. It's revealing the condition of your heart. You this morning sitting here, you are either an overcomer and you've been freed from sin. You've been freed from that. You're still tempted, yes. Not talking about people's business. But you're either still wrapped up in sin and you're overcome, or you're free from sin and you're an overcomer. He's described you. He's given it to you clearly. Not only there's the description, but I want you to see the difference. You say, what is the difference? What makes one an overcomer? What makes one an overcome? Is it because one has a disciplined life? Is it because one says no? Is it because one is just a better person? Is it because of where one's born? No, friend, I want to show you what the Bible says. It makes a difference between the overcome and the overcomer. Look in verse 6 and verse 7 of Revelation 21. He said, and he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Number one, write this down. Number one, overcomers have partook of the fountain of life. That's a picture of salvation. And Jesus said that he was a water of life. John chapter number 4. Overcomers have partook of the fountain. In verse number 7, he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. He's talking about overcomers. And overcomers have partook of the fountain of life. Watch this, number 2. Overcomers have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. You say, how do you get that out of this? Watch with me. In verse 7, he's talking about those. He said, I will be his God. He shall be my son. How did they get to be his son? John 3 said, that you cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3 and verse 5. You cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God unless you're born again. Born of the water and of the Spirit. John 3:3 and 3:5. And in John 3:7, Jesus said, marvel not, Nicodemus. He said, marvel not that I said unto thee that ye must be born again. How do I get born again, preacher? How do I become a son of God? How do I get made an overcomer? Look with me in 1 John. Go back to 1 John. Just a couple pages to the left. Hold your finger. We're coming back. But 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 4. 1 John 5 verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God. Does that sound like that new birth in John 3? You must be born again. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our... what is it? Faith. It's not our works. It's not our good lifestyle. It's not the money I put in the plate. It's not, hey, listen, it's our faith. is he that overcometh the world? He said, and this is, watch verse number 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. He said, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I believe in God. Hold on, friend. The devils believe in God, according to the book of James. The Bible says the devil believes in God, and they tremble. There's a vast difference in believing that God exists and you having placed personally your faith, your trust, your dependence, your reliance upon him and what he done at Calvary for you. So this morning, the only way you can be an overcomer is to have believed that Jesus is the Son of God and believe what Jesus as the Son of God did for you. That 2,000 years ago approximately, he went to an old rugged cross at Calvary. He laid down his life for your sins and for mine. He died on an old rugged cross. He was buried and he rose again after 3 days and 3 nights. And he come up out of the grave. And that's the gospel, friend, that he loved you, that he died for you, that he was buried and that he rose again to save you from your sins. Not to leave you in your sin. Somebody said, preacher, doesn't God love the drunkard? Doesn't God love the homosexual? Doesn't God love the covetor? Doesn't God love the fornicator or the adulterer or all those other things? Yes, God loves you, friend. But when he saves you, he loves you way too much to leave you like that. Amen. Overcomers have placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, watch this. The difference is the overcome. Those that are still wrapped up, those that are lost. The overcome have refused the freely offered water. Verse 6, Revelation 21. He said, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life. What's that last word in that verse? Freely. Freely. You understand, it's not salvation, is not hide and go seek. Not, God's not saying, I want to save you, but now and boo boo, you can't find it. He's not saying I got salvation over here and it's hidden in a box and you're going to have to go on a... No, God says, here I am. Here's Jesus. He said, I've revealed to you my love. He said, God commendeth his love toward us in the while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. I'm telling you, God loves you so much that he sent his own son to die for you. What more can he do? Amen. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying those who are still overcome, those that are lost, they are those who have refused to take freely the water of life that's been offered. Jesus said it in John 4. He said, if you take this water that I give you, he said, you'll never thirst again. He wasn't saying you wasn't going to need some H2O. He wasn't saying you wouldn't need a little bit of that. What he's talking about is spiritually, he said, I'm going to quench your thirst. You won't have to go to the... He was talking to a lady there that was an adulteress. She was... not married with the man, and she'd been married several times before. She's living with somebody that wasn't her husband. And God was saying, you won't have to look for satisfaction in the relationships of the world. You won't have to look for satisfaction in the entertainment of the world. You won't have to look for satisfaction in a bottle. You won't have to look for satisfaction in all the other things. He said, if you'll just take a little bit of what I'm trying to give you, friend, he said, you'll never thirst again. Changed her life that day. John 4 changed her life radically. Say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you're not saved this morning, it's your fault. You don't sit in a gospel preaching church time after time after time after time again and say, God's never dealt with me. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. God takes the word of God, the Spirit of God, you can't separate the two, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, takes the word of God as his priest, and he speaks to hearts. And friend, I sat on a church pew for a year. I raised my hand and said, I say. But deep down inside, I knew something wasn't right. Deep down inside, I had an unsettled feeling. Deep down inside, I never had the peace that passes all understanding. And I knew deep down inside, I was lying when I raised my hand. Friend, you ain't fooling God. And deep down inside, you're not fooling yourself. They overcome. They have refused the water that's been offered freely. And the overcome have remained lost and depraved. That's why the description. That's why their lifestyle. That's why their habits. Because they refused. I'm telling you, friend, one drink of living water and your life will never be the same. You say, preacher, I'm not preaching a work salvation. I'm preaching a salvation that works. Are you listening to me? Brother Robbie, I haven't been perfect since the night I got saved. I'm sure you haven't either. But I think you'd have to stand up and testify the same thing. I got to stand up. Hey, that the night God saved me, my life's been different ever since. Amen. Your life, if you've been saved, your life's been different. Amen. Are you listening to me? We're not preaching perfection. We're not saying if you ever slip up and sin. We're not saying if you ever had a bad thought. Hey, listen, what we're saying is if this is your lifestyle, he said there has not been a difference made. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. So when was the difference made in your life? Take me to a place. Take me to a place in your life. Paul would go back. He talked about the road to Damascus. Before the road to Damascus, he was religious, but he was lost. I'm talking about he was zealous in his religion. He was willing to kill the church. He wanted to put the Christians to death. He wanted to do away with that sect that called themselves the church. He said, man, those that are of the way, we're going to kill them. But he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and his life changed. And after the road to Damascus, he wasn't trying to put aside the church. Man, he was trying to help lead the church. Hello, are you listening? When did your life, because of an experience of faith that you had, not a card you signed, not a prayer you prayed, but I'm talking about a true encounter that you had with the risen Son of God, that you trusted Him, when did your life change radically? Think back in your mind. Go back in your heart. And say, preacher, I'm going back to such and such a date. And I can tell you, I haven't been perfect. I've slipped up. I've disappointed. I've sinned against God. I've done some things. A preacher is such and such a thing. I was born again. I repented of my sin. I placed my faith in Jesus Christ. And because of that, man, life was vastly different. My desires changed. My appetites changed. Everything about me that I wanted, my cravings, everything changed because of that. Some of you would sit here and say, listen, when I got saved, my wife got a brand new husband. When I got saved, my husband got a brand new wife. And they would testify to the change that took place in your life. Some would say that about their children or their mom or their dad. And friend, my question to you this morning is, when did it happen to you? When did the difference play? When did you place your faith in Jesus Christ and become an overcomer? And if you can't take me to a place, then you're still overcome. You say, preacher, well, I just can't quit sinning. I can't quit drinking. I can't quit fornicating. I just can't quit. You're right. You can't. Because it's your nature. Are you listening to me? You're not a sinner, necessarily, or you're not lost because you sin. You sin because you're lost. Let me help you out. A dog. How many knows what a dog looks like? How many's ever heard a dog bark? Is a dog because he barks? Or is does he bark because he's a dog? A dog's not a dog because he barks. A dog barks because he's a dog. And that's a dog's nature to bark. Amen. And you're a sinner this morning, not because of anything else than it's your nature. That you've never had a new nature instilled. You've never been made a new creature. And the reason you still live in that lifestyle that God has described, and the reason you still live in that overcome life, is because it's your nature. And your nature has never been changed. The reason you constantly struggle with it over and over, and you can't get away from it. And listen, some of you don't want to get away from it. Most of you, that'd be the case. Most people that are lost, they're sinning and they enjoy it. A saved person can sin, and the difference is when they get involved in that sin, immediately, not over a period of time, but immediately, the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart. He says, something ain't right. I'm telling you, friend, I'm telling you, listen, I'm just simply sharing with you that, listen, the moment you get saved, the Holy Ghost takes up residence inside of you. And He didn't come to take a little part. He didn't want a little corner. He came to take over. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. When you start doing things with your body, when you start putting things in your body that book doesn't agree with, the Holy Ghost is going to let you know. He goes, something wrong. Something wrong. Are you listening? And I'm going to simply say, if you ain't got that experience in your life that the Holy Ghost don't nudge you when you're doing something that you know the Bible says is wrong, and you're sitting there saying, preacher, I just don't see nothing wrong with it.
What you're saying is your nature still agrees with it because you're still lost. You're overcome. There's a difference. And then I want to show you something else before we go home. We've talked about the description. We've talked about the difference. And I want to talk about the destination. So what happens, preacher? Well, if you was to go back in verse number 1, and when we read, and John talked about a new earth, a new heaven, he talked about in verse 2, a holy city, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And he's speaking here of where the saved will abide in eternity. He's talking about a wonderful place. I'm talking about a wonderful place. The overcomers will experience the new heaven, the new earth, the new Jerusalem. Are they over? Let's make this clear. Are they overcomers because of anything they've done? Or are they overcomers because they've placed their faith and believed on the name of the Son of God? They trusted God and God made them overcomers. It's their faith. Watch now. The overcomer's destination is this. It's a pure city. Verse 2, he says it's a holy city. Pure. It's a presented city. He said it's come down from God. God is presenting this city, this new Jerusalem. God is presenting it to believers in eternity for them to live. It's a prepared city. He said it's as a bride adorned for her husband. That bride, when she's about to get married, man, she prepares herself. She puts on, most of y'all would admit, when you got married, you tried to look your very best for your husband when you walked down the aisle. Can I get a witness, ladies? I mean, you spent the most on makeup. You had the fanciest dress. Some of you, man, probably bought brand new socks or pantyhose, whatever it was you were. I mean, you went to the extent. You got everything. Maybe even got new jewelry and a new hairdo. You ain't had that hairdo since. Are you listening? You know why? Because you wanted to be prepared. I mean, you did your best. You thank God in John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. You think when he went to prepare a place for you and you think when he gives it to you, it's not going to be prepared? Right. I'm telling you, he's giving you a place that's prepared. I'm telling you, he's got a place that, man, it's a door for you. He says, man, I want you to have my best. It's a promised place. Watch what Jesus said in John 14. Jesus said, if it were not true, I would have told you. Right. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And he said, if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again. I like that. He said, if it were not true, I would have told you. Right. Promised. It's a place of peace. Watch with me. Watch verse 4. He said, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more sadness, no more tears. He said, there should be no more death. But Steve, we won't have to go to no more funerals. We won't have to cross that journey no more. There'll be no more death. Neither sorrow. Say what you say. There'd be no more separation. When death, we have to say goodbye to mom, to dad, to our loved ones, our son, or our friend. We have to say goodbye to them temporarily. But when we get over there, there'll be no more separation. Amen. Amen. I just want to say, thank God there'll be no more separation. Amen. Hey, to those that are in Christ, to those that know Jesus, you got loved ones on the other side. There'll be no more separation. There'll be no more sorrow. Amen. No more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. No more suffering. You deal with aches and pains and things. No more pain. He said, for the former things are passed away. I'm talking about a splendid place. He said in verse 5, he said, I make all things new. I'm talking about splendid, godly. I'm talking about a satisfying place. I'm saying what? When you get to heaven, when you get to the new Jerusalem, hey, there'll be nothing there that you don't want, and there'll be everything there that you need. Amen. Years ago, there's a fire in Chicago. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, his home was burnt in the fire in Chicago, and he went back and he was going through the rummaging through the things that were left over, and someone said, hey, Mr. Moody, I'm sorry that you lost everything. He said, oh, friend, I ain't lost everything. He said, what are you talking about? He said, why ain't you saying? He said, I've got treasures. He said, I've got more riches than you'll ever know. Amen. He said, what are you talking about? He said, oh. He said, I'm talking about over in heaven. He said, he, watch this, verse number 7. He said, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Amen.
Amen. I want to say it's not just good for D.L. Moody, amen. It's not just good for the saints of old, but it's good for you today. Hey, my friend, lay out your treasures up on this earth, but look forward to heaven. He said, if you're an overcomer, you're going to go to a place that's a splendid place. It's a supplied, satisfying place. And friend, it's a safe place. It's a safe place. There'll be no more thieves there. There'll be no more murderers there. There'll be no more sin there. Matter of fact, there'll be no more temptation there. Not only will we have been saved from the penalty of sin and the power of sin, but when we get there, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin. Satan will be kicked out. But, in verse 8, I got to show you this. Verse 8, he says there's a different destination for those that don't know Christ. In John 3:36, he said, those that didn't believe on Jesus, he said, the wrath of God abideth on them. In Ephesians 5:6, he said, the wrath of God comes upon us, on those, because of these things that he's listed. Look with me in Revelation 21:8. He said, the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part. They have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. You say, you want them fire and brimstone preachers? If it's in the book, I'm preaching it. He said, which is the second death. So, those who are still living in sin, loving sin, their lifestyle exhibits that they've never had a change. They've never trusted Christ. No matter how many prayers they pray, no matter how many times they've gone to church, no matter how many times they've been baptized, if they've never truly been saved and their life's been changed, he said, they have a promised place. Just as good as God promised heaven for the saved, he promised the lake of fire to the unsaved. He said they shall have their part. Shall have their part. That is, they'll have a lot. They'll have an allotment. They'll have an inheritance. They have a destiny awaiting them in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. There's a sure place for the lost. There's a suffering place for the lost. It's a punishing place. It's a place of perishing. He said in John 3, if you believe in Jesus, he said they shall not perish. But if you don't believe in Jesus, if you don't trust him, you're going to a place where you're going to perish for eternity. I'm talking about a place where the Bible said their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Where there's weeping, there's wailing, there's gnashing of teeth. He said a lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. Look the words up. The word burneth, it means to set something on fire. Hey, with fire, the fire is fire. Brimstone is talking about that hot rock that boils up out of the earth. That like sulfuric fire that comes out of a volcano. Brimstone. That's what hell's going to be like. That's the lake of fire. If you're not saved, if you're not an overcomer, that's where you're headed. And it's everlasting fire. Did you hear me? If you went for a day or a week or a year and it was over, I may say you're all right to run the risk. But you don't get out in a week. You don't get out in a year. You don't get out in a month. You don't get out on good behavior. He said, which is the second death. It's a place of separation. Death is a separation. When someone dies physically, we're separated from them. In the physical sense, we're separated. They go to their body goes to the ground, their spirit, soul goes back to the Lord or to hell. They either go to heaven or hell. There's a temporary bodily separation. Spiritually, when you die spiritually, there's a separation of the soul and the spirit. The second death, there's a separation eternally of you, your spirit man, and God Almighty. I'm talking about the second death where when you get to the lake of fire, you'll never hear another preacher. You say, I wish that preacher would leave me alone. That preacher, you won't have to worry about it in hell. He won't be there to knock on your door. He won't be there to preach no more sermons. That preacher won't be there to deal with you no more. And sadly, more sadly than that, is the sweet voice of God. The Holy Ghost that's nudging your heart right now and telling you, he's described your life in those verses. And God wants to save you, and you need to turn from your sin. And you're saying, oh, leave me alone, leave me alone.
coming a day he'll leave you alone. There's coming a day. If you love your sin more than you love the Savior, there's coming a day when God Almighty will set you aside. He'll cast you in the lake of fire and you'll be done. I'm talking about eternal damnation. Place of separation. He says the second death. You say, who's going to be there? If you used to go back to chapter number 20 and look in verse number 15, he said, and whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. In verse 14, he said, death and hell. Death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. Friend, I don't know who you are. I don't know where you came from. I don't know your background. I don't know what you've been taught. But everything, with the help of God, that I've told you this morning came straight out of this King James Bible. And I don't care what any preacher tells you, what any denominational head tells you, what any person that you may look up to tells you. God's Word says, if you've been saved, you're an overcomer. That's not your lifestyle anymore. And if you're not saved, you're still living that lifestyle. You need to be saved. And the water of life is offered freely. You can be saved. But if you don't, you're either going to heaven, to that new heaven, the new Jerusalem, or your eternal damnation, hell, will be the lake of fire. The choice is up to you. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take the message. I pray you use it as you see fit. I pray, God, you'd have your will and way. I pray, Holy Ghost, you'd work in hearts. Save souls that need to be saved. God, help us. Do for us what only you can do. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're standing all across the auditorium. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.